Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 0.035% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. Even though you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching never changed anything.
All right, today's podcast is titled Hooverville 2019, live stream number 619-768-2945. We got another short one today, but what is Hoover, not Hooterville, like on the TV show Petticoat Junction, Hooverville, Hooverville, Hooverville. What? Well, let me read it. A Hooverville was a shanty town built during the Great Depression by the homeless of the United States of America. They were named after President Herbert Hoover, who was the president of the United States of America at the time, during the onset of the Depression, and was widely blamed for it. The term coined by, a lot of times we just blame the wrong people. I wouldn't put that on Hoover. Anyway, the term was coined by Charles Michelson, publicity chief for the DNC Democratic National Committee. There were hundreds of Hoovervilles across the United States during the 1930s, and hundreds of thousands lived in these slums. Background: homelessness was present before the Great Depression It was common sight before 1929. Most large cities built municipal lodging houses for the homeless, but the Depression exponentially increased the demand. The homeless clustered in shanty towns close to free soup kitchens. These settlements were often trespassing on private lands, but they were frequently tolerated and ignored out of necessity. The New Deal enacted special relief programs aimed at the homeless under the Federal Transient Service, FTS, which operated from 1933 to 1935. Some of the men were forced to, who were forced to live in these conditions, possessed construction skills, and were able to build their houses out of stone. Most people, however, resorted to building their residences out of wood, from crates, cardboard, scraps, and metal, or whatever materials were available to them. They usually had a small stove, bedding, a couple of simple cooking implements. Men and women and children alike lived in these Hoovervilles. Most of these were unemployed residents of Hoovervilles, relied on public charities, or begged for food from those who had housing during this era. Democrats coined the term, coined many of the terms used on the opinions of Herbert Hoover, such as a Hoover blanket. Old newspapers used as blanketing, and the Hoover flag. What was Herbert Hoover? All right, he was a Republican. Okay. But a lot of people that lived in Hooverville were Democrat. That's another podcast. Right? Notable Hoovervilles during the 1930s, Anacostia in Washington, D.C., which that area has been getting gentrified over the last 5 or 6 years. Let's see. They had a camp, a Hooverville camp in Anacostia, part of Washington, D.C. At least about 15,000 people were living there. The camp was demolished by the units of the United States Army commanded by General Douglas MacArthur. Let's see, Central Park, New York City. Scores of homeless families camped out at the Great Lawn at Central Park at an empty reservoir. You know what's interesting about Central Park before it became Central Park was one of the first black townships in the United States was actually in Central Park. They had about 4 acres of it up there. All right. Let's see. Riverside Park, New York City, a shanty town occupied Riverside Park at the 72nd Street at 72nd Street during the Depression. Seattle, Washington. Now, this is why I named this podcast today Hooverville 2019, because in 1930, the city of Seattle, Washington had 8 Hoovervilles. Its largest Hooverville was on Tidal Flats, adjacent to the Port of Seattle, lasted from 1932 to 1941. And in 2019, you still have a homeless problem. Or put it this way, maybe it disappeared, but it's reappeared in King County, at least Seattle, Washington again. St. Louis, Missouri. In 1930, the largest Hooverville in America, it consisted of 4 distinct sectors. St. Louis racially integrated Hooverville depended on private philanthropy, and it had an unofficial mayor, created its own churches and other social institutions, and remained a viable community until 1936, when the Federal Works Progress Administration allocated slum clearance funds for the area. Translation, when the government's not getting their cut, they're going to tear it up. At least that's the way I interpret it. Now, in 2019, you know, you might not call them Hoovervilles. You know, I don't know, you know, depending on the community, depends on what you call them. Let's read a little bit more about this. Let's see. I read that. I'm going from another arc. I didn't want to repeat. Life in Hoovervilles. I'm doing some studying on homelessness, particularly here in the United States, the history of it, the origins of it. And what I find interesting is, you know, during the New Deal, you know, they set up agencies and they fund these agencies to get rid of these Hoover towns. And they got laws on the books now that you can't even, in certain places, you can't even feed the so-called homeless. But I haven't found any state-sponsored program that educates people on how to build their house without bank financing. Even on the college level, because you can go to college now, you know, get a degree in construction technology. But the mindset is go out and get a job. Although they do offer courses now in entrepreneurship, they are places that offer a degree in that. But once again, on the state level, public school level, I mean, they have vocational schools that, or they call them career centers now, that, you know, you can take auto body, brick masonry, carpentry. But when class to teach you about the different parts of the house and all this, but nothing on a collective, like, you know, you got the FHA that they will insure alone. But what about not even getting in a position where you're educated to the point where a lot of the Amish and the Mennonites build a house, you're debt free from the get go. No 30-year mortgage. No need for any government or state sponsored program for the housing over your head. There might be something out there. I haven't run across it yet. Because even with a lot of these church programs, these church ministries, you know, they might feed the homeless, which is fine. They might provide transitional housing for the homeless, which is fine. But there's no, to my knowledge, no. And then there's some programs out there coming up, you know, well, let's build some tiny house and give it to the homeless. But what's that expression? Give a man a fish, feed him for the day. Teach a man how to fish, feed him for a lifetime. I've yet to come across that yet. Although there are plenty of people, including, you know, in the Hoovervilles, and even today, they are skilled tradesmen. It seems like that entrepreneurial psychology mindset is not there, because I typically get day labor from a lot of these men's shelters. And some of these guys have had their own business. They got all their tools. But can't pull them out the city. Can't pull them out the city. I don't know. We have to explore that. What is it about a city that you're so psychologically dependent upon a city. Whereas if you just drive 15 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour outside of the city, you can find a whole bunch of opportunities that don't exist in the city. And you're only 15 minutes to an hour away. I mean, a radius of a particular town. Anyway, so we're going to continue the research. Anyway, so there's plenty of information online about Hoovervilles. And today, you still have Hoovervilles. They're called something different. Now, you do. Now, the entrepreneurial spirit has hit this because now you've got people that are forming tiny house communities that are legal, and they're building aesthetically pleasing homes, houses, many of which are off the grid. They don't need the government for anything. So that's what's going on today. But you still have tents down here in Florida. I guess they got tent cities. I don't know what they call them in Seattle. That may be called tent cities up there as well. But in any event, let's go to the phone lines here real quick before we run out of time. 253, your mic is open.
Hello. So we know that we can't look to the schools and colleges to teach us about building homes or domiciles mortgage-free, debt-free, because academics is just the – you get information and you study – and it has no practical purpose or application, all right? And they're not going to have any programs that are going to empower the people to be self-sustainable, because there's big money in government funding. So when you get the people depending upon the government, and they come for their little handout, their little $300 or $400 a month, their little food stamps, or whatever, okay, and the health, you get them dependent upon that, but they get, when they use the money, they get more money, and they also make millions of dollars off of the interest of you being dumbed down and dependent upon them. So there's never going to be anyone giving up, I'm sorry, municipalities and cities and things like that, social service agencies actually teaching these people these things. But
yeah,
we don't need
yeah, some things. I had a tenant once.
Yeah.
And he actually knew how to build a house. But man, I wish I was thinking the way I'm thinking then, because I was in the process of evicting him. But I would have partnered up with him knowing what I know now. But
yeah.
But the mindset, although he knew how to build a house, he had the technical skills to build a house, but the mindset wasn't there. He was looking for a job, maybe with a Toll Brothers or some big developer, something like that. Because you got, like I said, right now, there's a gazillion, well, not a gazillion, but there's a lot of shelters here in the United States with men and women that have the skill set already to build a house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, anybody can end up in a shelter for a number of reasons, because that's just the nature of life. But that entrepreneurial psychology, if
mm-hmm.
like I said, there's a lot of them that are in shelters right now. They've got the skill set, and a lot of them were introduced to the skill set in a public school type setting. Now, where
right.
the disconnect is, I don't know. But there's a disconnect
well,
there somewhere.
They never were connected. They never were allowed to be. From the minute that you go to, and now they're doing it preschool and Head Start, line up, follow the line, do what everybody else does, and so that there's never no disconnect because there's never a connection. Never. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I guess you're a person that had to be proactive. And because school basically, the way I look at school, public or private, it exposes you to a field of study. And then you got a school is a community. So you got the community. And then from that point on, it's up to you on an individual basis to
figure out how deep you want to go with. You shouldn't even get into the college academic system because it's for no practical application. This is why after people that have degrees and they caught finishing school or graduate school and they still can't get jobs. Are you kidding me? So we need to be proactive and we need to just create our own opportunities. Just simply do it. We have to get out of the mindset of I need a job. And I need to get a loan to get a car, to get a house. That's modern day slavery.
I don't care what you say. Not everybody is cut out. Not everybody's cut out to be an entrepreneur.
That you don't have to be an entrepreneur. Be a millionaire. Okay? Just be a social capitalist. How about that? You don't have to be an entrepreneur. All you have to do is just be the person that you are, and you're trying to survive, and you're trying to live well and healthy. So you just apply some very sound things. You know, you brainstorm, you mastermind, and you execute what we're doing here. Yeah, but. We have to get away from, we have to get off of that ball and chain. I need to go to work. I need to spend 30 years and then I can't even retire because they're not going to give me that. And then I'm probably going to get sick from the chemicals that I'm exposed to while I'm working. Oh, and my house is still not paid off. And now if it is paid off, now it needs damage. Now it needs repairs, or it's damaged by the storm, or my kids are gone. Now I don't need all this space, so now I'm going to downsize. Now I've wasted all these years and spent a lot of extra energy and effort that if I'd have had this approach from the first place, man, I'd be rich. Yeah,
that's
so
true. That's true, because you're right about that. I guess that's all, you know, well, if you're born in the right household and you're around parents or grandparents that can teach you something to get you thinking in that right direction early on, that will be a big help. Let's go to our next call. It's 314. Your mic is open.
Hello, L.A. On your short,
how are you doing this morning?
Your short day. How are you?
I'm taking the time to. I'm in the process of readjusting on this, and so probably by the end of the week, I'll probably go back to the.
Well, you know, I was reading an article. Matter of fact, I'm going to send it to you. Where people are leaving California, headed to Nevada and Texas. You know, because of this president's tax reforms, and also its relationship with big oil, you got plain laborers that's working in the industry, oil industry in Texas, that's earning six-figure salaries. Six figures. I'm going to send you the article. Hotel. Plain old hotel. You know, you're talking about building homes. Hell, go there and build a hotel. They getting hundreds of dollars a night for accommodation.
You know what? That's like in... isn't that like in... What state is that in? North Dakota, South Dakota, where
they
got the oil fields going to be? Yeah, man, they're making big money, I bet.
Truck drivers are making fortunes. They never turn their truck off. Heck, I was reading where one guy just opened up a mirror donut shop and made money. And then going back to this Texas story, which I'm getting ready to send you, you got women with designer purses selling salads for $18 a piece.
Remember that article. You know what? You giving me a great idea. Because last year I got on to that North Dakota thing, and there's a severe housing shortage up in, up where they're doing the oil rigs at.
Well, hell, the way people leaving Louisiana, the oil capital of the world, going to Texas. And also the company, another company that was advertising over there in Florida, they're paying people like $47, $52 an hour with 401k benefits. And no, I was going to say, Robin, all these kids need to get a college education. Because a college education, if you can go through the rigors, I ain't talking about black history now. Now, if you got a degree in black history, well, yeah, you have a hard time trying to find even a job in a library or philosophy, a psychiatrist.
Yeah, what degrees, Pianca, do you suggest? I know STEM, right? Because you're right. So don't go in there and try to get a liberal arts degree. Yeah.
Liberal arts don't pay no money. You want the STEM degrees, and practically all STEM degrees and medicine degrees. That is, and that's why you need to take your child and take them through these rigors to see if they have this in them. It's easy to do. You do it for baseball. You do it for basketball and football. But they all have the same general math requirements. You got calc 1, 2, 3. You got things like exponential, I can't think of the rest of it. And you have your sciences, your biology, even geology lab. Those are subjects, those courses, those degrees that require those subjects are good. And I'm going to give you an example. And I always talk about this organization, the National Society of Black Engineers. At their conventions, yearly conventions, the last one they had, number 45, how ironic, it was held in Detroit, Michigan, at Cabot Center. Hell, Lockheed Martin hired 400 right off the convention floor. This is for these black kids. And they starting off at no damn minimum wage. They probably earning a right at or six-figure salary, plus the thousands of others that was being hired. They had over 15,000 young black kids there at that convention this year.
I saw a video on that.
Yeah, the previous two conventions in 2017 and 2018, Northrop Grumman, which is headquartered out of Mississippi, hired 400 plus 2 years in a row, plus the thousands of other corporations there like Goldman Sachs, Amazon, Google, CIA, FBI, Department of Defense, Harley Davidson. So
he majored in electrical engineering. He got a job at Hughes Aircraft his junior year, a full year before he graduated.
Hell, my grandson went home last summer for summer vacation, went back to St. Louis. Hell, somebody came and hired him for $30 an hour for just that little short period of time.
Now,
you got people. My grandson is majoring in gas and oil. Gas and petroleum engineering. Plus business with an energy minor.
Okay. You got to major in something like you just said. It can't be.
Can't be black history.
Right, black history, liberal arts, nothing like that.
Yeah. Okay. You got 2 minutes, so I'm gonna let you get off from here, man.
Well, we ain't got.
But you
no
have some good shows, you know? Huh?
Well, thank you, thank you. Well, we're gonna open it back up later this week, cause like I said, I'm gonna be scrambling.
Well, yeah, you gotta do what you gotta do because you can't wait on nobody else to do it for you. Okay, I continue listening, sir.
All right. Well, that's it for today. Thank you all for listening to.